I have to explain some things. I bet you've never had a speaker wear hiking boots. I have hiking boots on. I have, what do I have? A stress fracture. And I've been told that there is a reason God gave me that particular kind of fracture. Because my life has been very busy and very hectic. But you are blessed in one way, because I have been a retreat speaker at which I had a broken arm. And the pastor's wife had to dress me. So you're faring pretty good here. Just rejoice that you don't have to suffer through that. The message I want to share today is kind of a contradiction. But the title is Surrender to Joy. And those are opposites. But they often go together in our life. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for bringing us together for this wonderful meal and for your presence with us. For these women who love you and serve you in their spheres of influence. Pray, Father, that you would take my words and by your Holy Spirit, draw our hearts together and draw us closer to you. In the name of Christ, amen. If you can't hear me, will you wave or jump up and down or something? Okay. When I was a little girl, I used to have to walk home from school. Now, you know I played that up big with my kids, don't you? It was miles and miles and miles. Every day I had to walk past a place where there was a dog, a big dog, big ugly dog, in fact. And every day when I would get there, I would pray and I would say, Jesus, please don't let the dog be outside today. Or if he's outside, let him be asleep. If he's awake, please don't let him chase me. Or if he chases me, please let me be able to climb that tree before he gets me. So I gave God a lot of options as to how he could help me handle that problem. And then I would say, Jesus, if you will do this for me, I will do whatever you say from now on. Now, every day when I managed to get by the dog, I experienced great joy. But there was nothing at all about surrender in it, because I didn't mean what I said. We all know that what I experienced was not the kind of joy that the scriptures speak of as real joy. But when I remember that story, I'm reminded of how often I fall into the same trap, even today, thinking that because I escape from a situation or I work my way out of it, the joy I have is not the kind of joy that God gives when he removes me from a situation. I was surrendering myself to Jesus to get what I wanted. And there's a difference in the surrender that Jan has been talking about and the surrender that we choose to do in order to accomplish something, to meet our own needs. Two different things. Webster's defines surrender this way: to give up possession of or power to give up or abandon oneself. As I think about my life, it's always been easier for me to surrender if I didn't have a choice about it. And often God doesn't give you one, but I think I find the older I get, the more responsible I have to be in my choice making. When you're younger, often you have a lot of children and a lot of circumstances that make choices for you. But when it's just you and God, and there's nobody saying do this or do that, it becomes a little more real what it means to choose to surrender. We surrender something every single day in our life, even without thinking about it. We surrender, if we're trying to walk with Christ, we surrender the right to run our life. We surrender the right to self-satisfaction. We surrender our expectations when people fail us. But often the thing we fail to surrender the very most is ourselves. It's easier to give up something else than it is to give our heart in the way that God wants us to. When I think of biblical characters and how they surrendered, I think of Hannah from the book of 1 Samuel. I'm sure you know the story of Hannah. She had been unable to bear children, and her husband's other wife, and that is a whole story in itself, she had many. And so one day Hannah went into the temple, and she was pouring out her heart to God. And she said these words, "O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thy maidservant and remember me, and not forget thy maidservant, but will give thy maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head." Now the priest who was in residence at that time was Eli. And it tells you a lot about Eli because he thought that she was drunk. She was praying aloud, and they didn't often do that in temples. But it shows you a little bit of how spiritually sensitive he was to what was really happening. But he soon understood. God did walk with him. And he said that God would grant her her desire. So the woman went on her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. That's the thing that got me. Hannah had joy before the baby was even conceived because she believed God and trusted in God to do what he promised. And then if you look at the end of chapter 1, after her son is born and she's weaned him, probably about 3 or 4 years old, she took him to Eli the priest, and she reminded Eli of her promise of the years before and that she was here to keep her promise to the Lord. She said these words, "For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I ask of him. So I also have dedicated him to the Lord, and as long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord." Then when you look in chapter 2, let me just read some of the words that she prays. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord, nor is there any rock like our God." And skipping down, "Even the barren give birth to 7, but she who has many children languishes. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness." As I've read that, nowhere is Hannah talking about what she surrendered. She's giving up her only son without any promise from God that she'll have any more children at all. But nowhere in her song of thanksgiving do you see any regret. Only deep joy and deep surrender. She talks about the Lord himself, his great power to give, and his great authority to take away, and his right to do either one. She gave away her only child, and who did she give him to? The negligent, unspiritually sensitive priest who had 2 sons who were a disgrace to the priesthood. She only saw him once a year when she brought him a coat that she had made. She surrendered her treasure without any hope of replacement, and yet she had great joy in the Lord, and we see it in the psalm. A number of years ago, God gave us an illustration of surrender in a very painful way, not for us, but for these friends. We were involved with a couple. We were discipling them, and they were discipling others and growing and very, very excited and exuberant in their faith. They had 2 sons. They wanted a little girl with all their heart. And so finally she got pregnant, and they found out they were going to have a little girl. So she was born, and within hours of her birth, they were told that she could not live. She was born with only half a heart. Now, this little girl was beautiful. She had black hair and big blue eyes, just the most beautiful thing. You would never know looking at her that anything was wrong. There was an operation that they could try, but it had never been done even successfully on an adult, much less an infant this young. And so they had a decision to make. So they made a choice, and they took their daughter home to die. She lived for 2 weeks. Now, during the time, we were there quite often to be with them. And one day, we were sitting in her den, and she said these words to me. She said, "Volly, I don't like this journey. If this is how God rewards us for our faithfulness, I don't think I want him anymore. This is too hard for me." So we cried, and we talked, and we prayed together, and then I left. Now, as I thought about my friends, up to this point in their lives, the Christian journey had been very, very exciting. They were wonderful people, had followed God wholeheartedly, had given themselves away wholeheartedly, but they had never had to surrender anything. They had talked to others about surrendering all to follow Jesus, but they had never had to experience it until this point. But now God was letting them understand what the Christian life really meant. Jesus said to follow me, follow him where? To the cross and to the grave. Only now, it was her little girl who was going to be buried in the grave. 2 days later, the baby died. After the funeral, we were with them, and my friend seemed much different than she had been before when I'd seen her. She was no longer angry. She seemed full of peace and sweet surrender and a joy that she could not even understand. And I asked her what happened. And she began to tell me what God had done. The night before her baby died, she had been praying. But in her prayers, all they were full of was anger and lack of understanding and hurt and pain at what God had allowed in her life. She still had not experienced any victory at all in how she was feeling or in what God was doing. She finally fell into a restless sleep. While she was asleep, God gave her a dream. Now, God does not always do this. This was very unusual, but God knows what it'll take for us to do what we should do as his followers. In the dream, her baby was about 2 years old. And she was lying on her stomach like this, with looking right straight down into her face. The child said to her, "Don't cry, Mommy. I'll wait for you with Jesus." I thought about the grace of God in doing that. He demonstrated his love to her when she felt no love for him. When she could not feel anything but anger and could not do anything but deny his love, he gave her his love. All she could do was let him love her. God filled her with joy in the midst of her biggest challenge to surrender her life. Now, some of you are single and you haven't faced the challenge of losing a child, but you face other challenges of surrender in your life. And they're no smaller than these are. God gives what we need. When he calls us to surrender something, he gives what we need in order to do it, in order to endure it, to go through it. And then on top of the endurance, he gives us the joy that's unspeakable, and we don't know where it comes from. Often, joy and surrender go hand in hand. We know what surrender feels like. It hurts. It's usually very difficult, and unfortunately, it can be long-term. And it's always hard to understand what God is doing through it. It lasts our lifetime. As more and more areas of our life become available to His control, He reveals to us more and more things that we need to surrender to Him that we didn't even know were there. And if we had, we couldn't have borne knowing so much about ourselves and our sin before Him. Vine's Expository Dictionary says that joy is both a noun and a verb. It's both something given to us and something that we do. Recently, I was doing a study on places where joy and surrender might mingle. And I was astounded. They always go together. I didn't realize that. Let me just share a few verses. Sacrifice and joy are mentioned together. Strength and joy are found as we surrender ourselves to Him. In Nehemiah 8:10, Nehemiah had found the law after years of it being lost. And as they read the law, the people wept. And they wept because they found out what sinners they were when they heard the truth of God again. But Nehemiah said to them, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Understanding the full impact of sin and then seeing the forgiveness of God brings joy. Joy and surrender. David poured out his sin to God in Psalm 51, and he asked Him to restore the joy of his salvation. Confession and joy go together. Broken and contrite hearts bring joy to God's heart. The prospect of people coming to know Christ brings us joy. Even if it's a long, hard battle to get them there, it brings joy because we hope in God. Obedience to God brings joy. Walking with Him brings joy. Trials and poverty bring joy. Some of the hardest places in my own life have brought the greatest joy to my heart, even in the very middle of them. Unity brings joy, both to our hearts and the heart of God. That's what He prayed for the 12 as He left. Our hope of seeing Him one day brings joy. So many times joy is mentioned in scriptures, but always with surrender accompanying it. Joy does not always feel good. You don't always jump up and down when you're joyful. Sometimes it's a quiet surrender to His will in the midst of a pain that causes unspeakable and unexplainable quiet joy in our hearts. And when we see someone we love surrender in that way, it brings a joy that we can't explain. It's usually a very personal and private thing that God gives to us when we surrender and focus our eyes on Him instead of ourselves, our own little kingdom. For me, it has been expressed in an overpowering sense of His presence, in His love in the middle of a storm. And He's given me wonderful joy as I've surrendered my will and the way that I wanted things to go to His will and how He says it should go. Let Him decide for you what it should look and feel like. Don't tell Him what it should look or feel like. Our part in this is the surrender part. His part is the joy part that comes from Him. One of my daughters had severe allergies and had to go through testing. She was only 4, and she wasn't really excited about the prospect of all the needles. After they had done both arms, it took 3 of us to hold her down. And then they said, "We're going to do your back." Well, just out of my way. There was no holding her down. Screaming and thrashing and the whole 9 yards. So then I said, "Can everybody just leave the room and let me talk to her?" So God gave me these words. They were not my words. I don't know where they came from. I had never said them before in my life. I said, honey, God understands that this hurts you. He keeps all of your tears in a bottle because they are so precious to Him. And He knows it's the best thing for you right now to have these tests. So it's all right for you to cry, but it's not all right for you to fight God. When I said that, and you know how they get so stiff. She relaxed, and at that moment, she surrendered to Him her fears. She didn't say it, but you saw it happening. The nurses came back and did her back, and there was not a sound or a struggle from her. The only evidence of her pain were these huge teardrops coming out of her big brown eyes. But the joy of the Lord had become her strength. She could go through that because she surrendered her will to Him at that moment. Now, this little girl was not an angel. The same little girl has thrown peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at me. But what God did at that time was He helped her to surrender her will, and He gave her joy and strength to endure what she had surrendered to. The words, "It's all right to cry, but it's not all right to fight God," are a demonstration of surrendering to joy. Perhaps you've come to this conference tired or disappointed or discouraged or defeated, and are finding it difficult to experience joy. Remember the words of Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. What was the joy set before Him? It was you. It was you and me. The fact that we would be part of His kingdom. If He surrendered Himself to His Father's plan, then He would receive the joy that was us. The joy set before us is not a feeling, not an experience, but it's His very presence. It's not a thing, but it's a person. It's Jesus Christ. He is our joy. Amy Carmichael says these words, "Rejoice in what He does, and rejoice in what He does not do. Rejoice in what He says, and rejoice in what He does not say. Rejoice in what He allows and what He does not allow. Rejoice in Him. Surrender to the joy that is in His presence alone." Let me pray. Lord God, help us to surrender ourselves first of all, and then whatever else You place in the path that stands between You and us in full surrender. We know, Father, we need Your help to do that. We commit ourselves to You for that purpose. We tell You that we love You, and we thank You that You love us more. In the name of Jesus, amen.